The title of the sermon today is God Spoke a Second Time, and we're going to be working on understanding that God is a God of second chances in so many ways, but also trying to understand prayer. We're doing that a lot through the story of Jonah, and it's good that we do get second chances because I came across a bit of a list here of people who probably wish they had a second chance of some things, statements that they made. Western Union International had a memo that they issued in 1876 that said the following: "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication." They guessed wrong in that case. And no one uses the Western Union as far as sending telegrams go much these days. David Sarnoff Associates responded to urging for investment in 1920 in the radio, and his remark was, "The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular?" And we know that radio, of course, went on to be as we know it. H.M. Warner of the Warner Brothers in 1927 said, "Who wants to hear actors talk?" Wish he had a second chance too, probably. Daryl Zanuck in 1946 said, "Television won't be able to hold on to any market it captures after the first 6 months. People will soon get tired of staring at a plywood box every night." And there's others here, but there's lots of people that wish they had a second chance after making foolish statements or foolish acts. Jonah was someone who got a second chance. Jonah was the son of a great man, and we find the first occurrence of Jonah in 2 Kings as a prophet from Gath-Hepher, which is a few miles north of Nazareth, and he was active during the reign of Jeroboam II, around 786, and he predicted that Jeroboam would recover certain lost territories. Jonah was successful as a prophet and letting people know what God had to say. But when Jonah finally was asked to go to city of Nineveh, he didn't want to do that. And as we know that story well, he fled across the Mediterranean Sea, intending to go across the Mediterranean Sea right from Palestine now, right across out to the other side of Spain. Is where he was wanting to go, and we know that God stopped him and basically gave him a second chance. And as we read this morning, directly God spoke to him a second time and gave him that second chance. One of the big things I find in the book of Jonah that's important and really stands out to me is the number of times that Jonah prays. The number of times that Jonah prays to God. And when he's inside the great fish, as it's called, he starts to pray, it says. And it starts this by saying at verse 2 of chapter 2, "I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me." And it goes on from there about all the various things that have gone wrong. And it ends up with this: "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord." And then the Lord frees him from that fish prison that he's in and gives him that second chance. I want us to try to understand prayer a little bit, as we were talking about it last week and again this week. And before we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, help us to understand what it is to pray, what it is to listen for your voice, even if it takes a couple of times to get through. You are a God of second chances. You are a God who is with us through thick and thin. And help us to see that, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you and your people this day, Lord. Amen. Last week I talked a little bit about prayer and the forms that it can take. And today I wanted to talk about a particular kind of prayer, and that is a simple prayer. It's kind of a beginning prayer, and it's a very, we see in Jonah's case, often self-centered. He's praying for himself a lot, and he ends up, by the way, at the end of the book of Jonah, his prayer is, God speaks to him, is it right for you to be angry about this bush? And that's the bush that was covering you in shade and died. And Jonah said, yes, angry enough to die. And God speaks to him and gives an answer about that, about not being concerned about this and that. And I want that God's response is important, but key to this is that Jonah's like, I'm so fed up, I want to die. He's just very self-centered in what he's doing. I don't care anymore. I just want to keep, it's a terrible life I'm living in that sense. And it's that kind of prayer that we are sometimes afraid of, I think. We yearn for prayer as Christian people, but I think many times we hide from prayer. We're attracted to it because we do it here and we want to do it on our own, but sometimes it becomes a little bit scary because we're not sure if what we're praying is the right thing. We believe prayer is something that we should do, even something we really should want to do, but it seems as if there's a large chasm that stands between us and actually praying very often. We experience the agony in that sense of prayerlessness. And as I've been preparing this week, I've been struggling with this myself, because prayer is as I said last week, it's a mysterious kind of thing. We do it here on Sunday mornings. We do it at special evening services like tonight. And we say prayers together sometimes. We say prayers individually. We have prayers that we say together, as I said, like the Lord's Prayer when we do that. We pray at the end of our services for other people, and we do that in our own sort of unique way. But prayer is still a mystery in so many ways. And a good place to start in so many ways is a simple prayer, is what I'm calling it. And simple prayer is just saying whatever's on your mind, like Jonah did. And like we read often in the Psalms and in our psalm today. And sometimes it's a lot of silence that takes place. You know, I say often that the Psalms are a collection of poetry and prose, that 150 of them that express everything in the human condition. And what I mean by that is that they're prayers in so many ways, expressing whatever you are thinking at that moment. That's the message that's coming out of Psalms for us. David's written psalms that are happy ones. I feel happy today, Lord. I want to thank you for that. There's other times when David's feeling very sad and alone. And that psalm that we read today is a little bit of that. I'm being persecuted by people and I feel terrible. And I'm by myself. Where are you? Why are you hiding your face from me, God? And it's an honest prayer. And it's about me, really. Those kinds of prayers are not necessarily praying for other people. And I think if we're going to analyze prayer and how to get going, sometimes that's a good place to start. Sit before God and just discuss how you're feeling, how I am today. It's kind of like with little children who come along and talk to us and say, as we see sometimes, nutty and crazy things. And that's okay, though, because they're being honest in that sense, and they're just saying what's on their mind, and we don't scold them for that when they do that. We don't, you know, tell them, don't talk like that. It's okay. God wants that same relationship with us. And when we come before God, even with the craziest requests in that sense, just like a child might come with a crazy request to an adult, we don't just chide them. We teach them and we embrace them. And God is doing the very same thing. And you know, we want to grow from beyond that, and God certainly wants that in us, but it's a place to start. In a very real sense, as I said, we are the focus in a simple prayer. Our needs, our wants, our concerns dominate that prayer experience. Our prayers are shot through with plenty of pride and conceit and vanity and pretentiousness and all that sort of stuff, and that's okay, because that's where we start. God wants to know what's going on in here. He knows already. We've read that last week about how God knows things even before you say them. Simple prayer involves ordinary people bringing ordinary concerns to a loving and compassionate Father. There's no pretense in simple prayer. We do not pretend to be more holy or more pure or more saintly than we actually are, and Jonah is a fine example of that. Jonah talks to God like he was, you know, as I've called him before, the grumpy prophet. Whenever he's talking to God, he seems mad. Why are you asking me to do this? I don't want to do this. We wouldn't normally think that that's a good prayer to pray. I'm mad at you, God. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this. And then God grabs him and puts him back, and he's still mad at the end of the book. And as I said before when I preached on this book of Jonah, there's no resolution. God sort of gives him this little speech, and we don't have Jonah go, well, that's good. I got your point, God. I'm going to move on and be a happy guy. He's not. The story just ends. As far as we know, Jonah continues to be a grumpy guy and continues to talk to God in that simple sense. God doesn't punish him for that because he knows who Jonah is. Simple prayer is necessary, even essential to our spiritual life. C.S. Lewis counsels us when we're praying to quote, lay before him, God, what is in us, not what ought to be in us. I'm going to say that again. Lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. That's what God wants from us. God knows our hearts. He does not want us to just come before him and say the things we think we should be saying, but to say what really is in our hearts. And I think it's critically important for us to get our heads around this idea. We have a loving God, a God who has a steadfast love for us. Steadfast love. It never ends. It stays the same. It's always with us. God is with us. His love is with us no matter how we may be feeling. It's always there. And we must never be discouraged if we have a lack of prayer in our lives. Just because we may not be praying enough in our mind doesn't mean that we're not praying. We are doing what we need. There's a principle of progression in a spiritual life. And here it is. We do not take occasional joggers and put them in a marathon race. You don't take somebody who goes out, you know, once a month or irregularly trying to jog and then say, you know what, go run a marathon and expect them to do well. The same thing happens in prayer. We need to just kind of develop it on a regular basis and develop that habit. And eventually things change. God does begin to speak to us. And I know that all of you have, because I've spoken to many of you, many of you have come and spoken to me. You know, I say prayers every day and I listen, you know, and that's great. But we need to increase that, folks. We need to be talking to God more often. We need to be listening for God even when there's silence. And sometimes, like I said, we need that second chance to get back at it again. We need that second chance to understand what God is calling us to be and do as praying people. David again in the Psalms, for God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. We are called to be the people of God, founded on this rock of salvation, and that link to God for us, and in so many ways, is prayer. And it's just being ourselves before God, a simple prayer, saying who we are and how we're feeling in the very moment. And as we do this, God will lay things on our hearts to pray for others as we grow in prayer. Prayer is the center of all we do, and we proclaim the gospel when we pray. And as I said last week, prayer is not always being on your knees with your hands folded. Prayer can take many forms. It can be walking down the street. It can be in conversation with someone else. It can be just sitting reading. These are all forms of prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer now. Dear Lord, how desperately we all need to learn to pray. And yet when we're honest, we know that we often do not even want to pray in some cases. We get distracted. We're a little bit stubborn maybe. We're a little self-centered. Things are busy. We can't find the time. So in your mercy, Jesus, bring us to really need and want prayer in that conversation. Help us to understand what this mystery of prayer is. And that it makes a difference. It makes a difference not only in our own lives in that simple prayer structure, but it makes a difference in the lives of all the people that we know and even people we don't know. We thank you, Lord, for prayer. We thank you for efforts that have gone on this week in prayer with the various congregations in our area, praying for Christian unity, praying for you, Lord, to be working through all of us in this community. And this we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.